team is going to sign a ball for him. And I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful that God is good. And I'm so thankful that I know my Redeemer lives because I've watched him perform miracles. I've watched him answer prayers. I've been loved on by him. I hear him. He speaks to me. I can speak to him. And I'm just so thankful that we have a Redeemer that we serve that lives. And I'm so thankful that he answers our prayers. And this morning I'm overwhelmingly thankful for what God has done for me and in my life and for Jerry and for my family. And I'm so thankful for you guys for praying as well.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hand that holds me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. And I know this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. To take away my shame, and he lives forever, I'll proclaim that the payment for my precious life he gave. Now he's alive and there's an empty grave. The very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hand that holds me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. Now I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry out.
been some great testimonies this morning. Appreciate Miss Amanda's testimony. So true, true, the timing of the Lord and the arranging of the Lord, how He arranges things, is just truly amazing. He's a sovereign Lord, which means He's just in control. And what a blessing He has the will and not us. Who knows where we would be. Miss Pam, you got something to share? Amen. We sure will appreciate that, Miss Pam. Anybody else have a word to share? All right. Well, God has truly been good. Truly been good. The way that the service has gone this morning and the songs and the testimonies, I feel has certainly lined up. Confirm my message this morning. So I pray that your ears are open, both physically and spiritually. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22 is going to be our place of reading this morning and trying to reiterate some things you already know. There's one thing I've learned and learning about preaching is that it's very important to know what God wants you to preach. You may preach something twice or even more, but if you know God wants you to share something at a certain time, He has a purpose for it. And praise the Lord, I'm finding that out. Genesis 22, let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read verse 1 and verse number 2. Lord, we come in Jesus' name one more time. Thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that you give me a clear head and a calm heart. Holy Spirit, you are the third person in the Trinity. You're the one that connects to hearts. I pray that, and I know that's already been started this morning, but I pray the message would resonate and stick right in the heart, and that we would be challenged but also encouraged as a result of this service. We love you today, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 22. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, Behold, here am I. Here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." I'm going to stop there in verse number 2. Every everyone in here, I'm sure, has heard the story many, many times of Abraham and Isaac. And so we know that the story is fulfilled this morning in Abraham presenting Isaac as God had told him, and the sacrifice was provided. But this morning I want to call special attention, if I could, to verse number 1. And I want you to notice the phrase in verse number 1, that God did tempt Abraham. Notice the word tempt here. This word tempt doesn't mean a solicitation to do evil. We know that whenever we are tempted to do evil, that's from the devil, because the devil wants to bring out the very worst in us. But it does mean, this word tempt, it means an opportunity to do good, which is of God. And that's what God does. He presents opportunities to bring out the best in us or to refine us. And so the word tempt literally means to test. It means to try. It means to prove. It means simply to give an opportunity to trust God in a situation. Teachers give tests. And I won't call her name out this morning, but a little girl very dear to me had a Spanish test this past week at school. And I said, say some Spanish for me. She said, Taco Bell. I said, you quiero. And I'm proud of her. She passed that test. And because she passed the test, she was able to go to Six Flags yesterday. And so for her birthday. So praise the Lord. But teachers this morning, they give tests. And it's really no different from God in heaven that He would give us lessons, life lessons, but then what follows those life lessons are tests to see if you've learned anything. This morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach a few moments on this subject. Will you pass your test? Will you pass your test? We've heard of a test this morning. Brother Jerry Moss had been going through a test, and through family and friends and his own faith in God, he leaned on the Lord, and I believe that he passed that test. He didn't walk away from the faith. He didn't give up. He didn't get mad at God. He didn't do none of those things. But I believe he passed the test. And I know that during that time in his experience with everything he went through, I know that there were moments in his mind and his heart where he had to exercise the very most faith that he had. You heard it from Amanda. Of course, Miss Pam, all who love him, were having to exercise what faith they had. It was a test. You remember on TV at certain times, I don't know if it was one of the local channels or not, but all of a sudden you're watching your favorite show and then, burp, this is a test from your emergency broadcasting system. Then it says, this is only a test. Y'all remember that, or is that just me? I don't know, probably just me. But this morning, if you're here and you are going through things in your life you've never been through before, if there are new things you're challenged with, I want to tell you that this is only a test. It's a test. Now, some things in life that we go through that are troubling and trying, those things sometimes we create. Sometimes we're the author of our own test. Sometimes we create our own troubles, and sometimes we create our own trials. But if you're following Jesus to the best of your ability, and you're trusting Him, and you're honoring Him, He will allow you to be tested to see if you've learned anything. And so this morning, What's your test? What are you going through this morning where you need the divine intervention of God? I want to share three things with you concerning this topic, primarily out of verse number 1 and 2, but then verse 14. Number 1, I want to look at the timing of this test. The timing of this test. When did this test come? Well, notice in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things. So when you're reading that verse and you come across that statement, you have to go back and read what those things were. And I want to say it's 21 chapters worth, basically. At least to chapter number 13, moving forward. It's a lot of looking into the life of Abraham. And so we know that in the very beginning that God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He saved him. And Abraham set his journey, walking with the Lord and talking with the Lord and erecting altars and following him. He made some good decisions, but also he made some very bad decisions, Abraham did. But he experienced the hand of God in his life. God had taught Abraham many lessons and brought him through many things and trials. God proved his faithfulness to Abraham all the way from the very beginning of the day of his salvation by calling him and changing his life and just being faithful to provide for him. God proved his faithfulness to him every time in his life to this point. And now, the test. Now the test. And it came to pass after these things. Everything that Abraham has already experienced comes to test. Now, I'm sure that you've been alive on this earth long enough to have experienced some things and learned some things. And so now the challenge is putting into shoe leather what we've already learned when the test comes. So what is it that you're faced with this morning that's challenging? Why don't you lean on your past and the things that God has showed you and the things that you have learned? Sometimes we have learned some things from our past that we paid a good price for. Sometimes we don't make the right decisions and we have to learn by default, but yet we could use that for our future when we encounter tests. God is using the good, the bad, the ugly. He uses everything, no spare parts. It was when he distributed the 2 fish and 5 loaves, fed 5,000, and what happened? He spoke to the disciples and he said, go and gather up the fragments. The fragments. What does that tell us? That tells us that our God is a detailed God. He is a knowing God. Everything has importance. So everything that you've learned in your life till this point today, you can use that for coming tests. I don't want to have to take the test again, do you? Oh, I can remember growing up in school, and I finally took school serious when I was in the 6th grade. When I was in the 6th grade, I finally took school serious, and I was about 1 test away, true story, every story up here is true, from making the A honor roll. I was living in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and I was going to Westside, maybe it was the 5th grade, Westside Elementary. It was 5th grade. I was all excited and got to school and getting ready to take that test. And this old bully that had been bullying me walked right up to me and told me that. He said, I'm going to get you today, boy. I said, oh, really? You going to get me? And make a long story short, we kind of got into a little scuffle, and I got suspended. Believe that? Right at the edge of making the honor roll. I failed the test, needless to say. Y'all looking at me like, I can't believe you would do that. Well, of course, that's B.C., before Christ. What's your test this morning? What life experiences can you lean on to apply to your times of testing today? And so we see the timing of the test. It was after these things. After the Lord had walked with Abraham and talked with Abraham, and showed him the path of life, this is when the test came. There's a second thing I want to mention. Not only the timing of this test, but the type of the test. What kind of test was it? Look in verse number 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. And I love this special emphasis here. Whom thou lovest. God is saying, I promised you Isaac, and you love Isaac. That's your boy. He's the promised seed. I've been promising you this boy, and you love Isaac. But now I want you to take Isaac, at least in verse number 2. He says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Whoa. Is God contradicting himself? You know, there are times in life, if we're not careful, we will feel like that God is contradicting himself in our life. We read our Bibles, we pray, we hear of the goodness of God, and then we find ourselves in the biggest test of our life. And we think, Lord, how in the world? Why in the world? That was my brother. That was my sister. Why did they pass from cancer? Lord, this is just totally, totally contrary to what I felt in my heart as to how it should have went. Sometimes we experience things where we feel like God is contradicting himself. My question is God contradicting himself here? Abraham didn't have the full answer yet. He said, just take your son and offer him up for a sacrifice. He didn't tell him about the ram yet. And so Abraham literally moved forward in faith. Did not mean, doesn't even indicate that he struggled in faith. We know the Bible says he staggered not the promises of God. But there must have been some kind of reasoning in his mind as he received these instructions and started walking toward the place that God wanted Abraham to lay down Isaac. And it was the promised seed. It was Isaac whom thou lovest. Now Ishmael had his place, but he was created out of the flesh when they got ahead of God, Abraham and Sarah. He loved Ishmael, but Ishmael was not Isaac. Isaac was the promised seed. So now he wants to take him and offer him up for a sacrifice. The type of test this is the ultimate test. It's where his son is involved. It's where something so personal, something so private, something so precious was involved. And now God says, I want it. I want it. This morning, what is your Isaac? What is it in your life that's so precious? What is it in your life that you're holding to so tightly that in your spirit, if you say, if God were to ever get rid of this, I just don't know what I would do. What is it that God's requiring of you? And listen, I couldn't imagine bearing a child. I couldn't imagine bearing a spouse. And I even at times question myself. I may not say it or question God. I may not say it. I'll just have it floating through my spirit and say, I just don't know what I would do if God took Christy or Lily. God forbid that ever happened. But ultimately, and I say this in preaching, when the Spirit is in my mind and my heart flowing, I say this based upon the Bible, that if God ever took them, then I have to understand they belong to God first. They belong to God first. Oh, listen, you say, Brother Justin, you never lost anybody close to you. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And again, I'm saying this in a moment of strength, but at the end of the day, I believed Abraham knew Isaac's rightful place. It was God who gave him the promise. It was God who gave him the son. And now it's God's rightful place to require of him what he already gave him. Listen, God forbid anything terrible ever happen to my family or your family. And let me just say this while I'm on this thought. There's a lot of Christian movies out there, and some of them just bother me, to be quite honest with you. Because it seems like every Christian movie you watch, somebody always dies of cancer. You know? And I'm thinking, all right, it's our date night, and we're sitting down, and we're watching this movie, and we're both crying. Man. You know what I mean? So much for holding hands and kissing you on your cheek. But you know what? Those movies are just saying the truth. Life will hit you, but you got to have an anchor. But at the same time, there's a side of me that just gets bothered by that. And there's a side of me, if I'm not careful, I can get into a dark place mentally. I guess I was preconditioned, or I tend to think on the negative side of things than the positive. I have to train myself to think positive. Some people you talk to, they're just always so positive, and hey, how you doing? Praise God. You know? And I wonder, are they that way at home? If they were, that might seem kind of like a maniac. You know, walking through your house like that. You know, swinging your legs and shaking your arms. Woo! Man, they're on some good medication, I guess. Listen, I'm not knocking nobody this morning. I'm just trying to be real. Be real. What was Abraham feeling? What was he feeling? We don't know what he was feeling, but we know he was obedient. He was obedient because he knew that Isaac belonged to God first. And this morning, whatever it is in your life that you have a tight grip on, whatever it is, it may be something good, it may be something bad, but good things can turn to bad things if they get out of perspective. God wants your Isaac. What is it that is in your life that God wants? Let me ask it this way. What, the Isaac that you're dealing with in your life, does God approve of it? The thing that you love so much, the thing that you run to so often, the thing that you can't live without, does God approve of it? Does Jesus approve of it? Because if he doesn't, he wants your Isaac. You know, the Lord spoke to me recently, 4 weeks ago. And I'll tell you how he spoke to me. He spoke to me through a doctor's call. When they called and they said that I'm a diabetic. All right? And at that time, it caught me off guard. I just picked up Lily from school, and we had to go by the store. So we were in the car. And I said, okay. Well, I've been a pre-diabetic my whole life. My parents were diabetics. Even when me and Christy met, and I went from 300 pounds down to 185, I went and got a physical even then, and I was pre-diabetic. And so some things are preconditioned, but on the same token, I ain't going to lie with you. I love food. Brother Brian, I love food. I love the Braves game, and I love Marco's Pizza. I'm not going to lie to you. I do my job. I run the streets and take care of things. But when that ball game comes on, my finger is on my phone, and I want a Marco's Pizza extra large, and I want some wings and a 2-liter of Dr. Pepper. If the girls are going to be at home, fine. If you're not, fine, because it's all going to be for me. But I want to tell you, that's one of my Isaacs. Because it feels like that, I don't do drugs, I don't drink, don't do none of those things. But God, I can't eat a donut no more? That's not illegal? So Christy asked me the other day if I could run through Duncan Ford to get her a coffee. And I was fine with it, but you know, I'm thinking, is this God testing me just to see if I've learned anything yet? And I'll tell you, when God gives tests, He gives like distractions to keep you on the right path during those tests. And what I mean by that is, I went to the Dunkin' Donuts in Hiram, and my car pulled up right beside almost beside the dumpster. There's a little road there, so you got to either, if you're in line, be here or move forward if you can. There was a massive swarm of bees going in and outside that dumpster. I mean, one lady was at the window ordering her stuff, and she didn't know, but there were bees flying all around her car. And she was fighting them off, and craziest thing I've ever seen. I mean, you know. And I was worried about it. I said, oh, my goodness, look at those bees. And so my mind wasn't on a donut. My mind was trying to make it through the drive-thru. So I went and made it through. I said, hey, I just want y'all to know, y'all have a massive swarm of bees over here at the garbage can. Oh, I know, sir, I know, sir. I said, well, whoever's taking out the trash, be prepared. I said, y'all definitely need to call a pest man or something. But for me, you know, I got that news 4 weeks ago. And I was ready to give up my Isaac. Let me tell you, I wasn't ready to give up the food, but I was ready to feel better. I was ready to move forward. And can I just lift my hand this morning and say, today has been 4 weeks, and I have lost 30 pounds. 30 pounds. Now, I've had many sleepless nights rolling around wanting to eat. And maybe even a couple of times I got up and ate a little, but it was very healthy, like a, you know, a lean piece of meat or something, or a protein shake. If God is requiring something from you, that means He has something better for you. So I ask again this morning, what is it? Oh, by the way, my A1C level, I'm back in pre-diabetic range. So no more diabetic. I didn't even open my Walgreens bag that had my finger pricker in it to check my blood twice a day. Haven't even opened it yet, and I will never have to open it. What's your Isaac this morning? What is it that you're holding so tightly to? The Wisnets, everybody know the Wisnets? They have a song that says, there must be a greater yes. There must be a greater yes. And in that song, there's a line that says, there comes a time when childlike faith must graduate to trust. How about that? And so God is requiring our faith. He is putting us to the test. He wants us to grab all of our former lessons and put it to work and in action with whatever is coming our way. God wants us to pass the test this morning. The timing of the test, the type of the test, and then lastly, the testimony of the test. The testimony of the test. Verse number 14. Of course, you know the story. We summarized a little bit. And Abraham had, he was obedient. In fact, let's just back up a little to read this in full context. Look at verse number 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. I just cannot imagine what he's thinking. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. We know in the New Testament, Abraham did believe. He did have the faith to believe if that dagger went down and he killed his son, that God was able to raise him up. So he was operating out of some true, real faith But he was also human. We don't have anything recorded about anything he said out of his human nature or anything like that. There's nothing here other than he was obedient and he was lowering the dagger in, but there must have been some kind of struggle. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou any harm, anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Let me stop there for a moment. When I very first read this story back in 2002, I had a problem with verse number 12. Because God says, "For now I know." I thought he knew everything. Well, he does know everything. And I went to Brother Berman about that. I said, "Look, I'm struggling with this. You preach every Sunday, God knows everything, and it's like this caught God by surprise." And the way he explained it to me and how I've looked at it since then, God knew what Abraham was going to do. God allowed Abraham to see what Abraham was going to do. He gave him an opportunity to prove to himself that God is faithful. God was faithful. God knew what he was going to do. But it was an opportunity for Abraham to see what Abraham was going to do. And did you know that God knows what you're going to do in your test? But every test is an opportunity not to surprise God, but for us to surprise us. To see, what are we going to do this time on this test? Are we going to pass this test, or are we going to have to retake this test? "For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." The testimony from this test was that God provides. God provides. Jehovah Jireh means God will provide. In this name, Jehovah Jireh is meant to ease the anxiety and the worry that we have about ends meeting in life, about the potential of circumstances not working out. That name was instituted here to bring relief, and it goes back to this particular event where Abraham laid down his Isaac and God provided a substitute. What a testimony. With ultimate tests come ultimate testimonies. Not only does God have growth in mind when the tests he brings into our lives come, but he also has testimonies in mind that would bring him glory to his name and for our goodness. What's your Isaac this morning? What's your Isaac? Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for the good spirit here this morning. We felt your presence, and you brought us in to a very hollow place, a place of seriousness through the song service. And God, we're thankful for the preaching time, a little humor, a lot of Bible. But thank you, Lord, for all you've done this morning. I pray that if someone needs to come and do whatever they need to do that you're speaking to their heart about, let them come freely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.